This is the Jeanette and Jay John Show on Asian Pop Radio, and as we do this time every week, we are crossing to Korea now to speak to Chance Dolan of Korea FM. How are you going, Chance?
Hey, man. Nice to speak with you. Got some new interesting news going on here in South Korea.
Well, why don't you tell us all about it?
Yeah, so as opposed to last week, I think I mentioned a couple different stories, Park Geun-hye and Sewol, where, you know, there were some updates, but that's more of like a long-term.
Sure, yeah.
Item, and you kind of will get updates here and there, but another long-term item has kind of a good choice of words exploded. The U.S. and China and South Korea, of course, everyone's kind of talking about North Korea right now. U.S. President Donald Trump, as an American, that's still weird for me to say.
Yes.
He's now saying
as a
that,
person, it's weird for anyone to say, really. Let's be honest.
I'm sure it must be unfortunate for you guys down under as well. So Donald Trump is saying that the U.S. is ready to basically go it alone if China does not act on North Korea, you know, I guess act in a way that the UN and America would like to see on North Korea. So act is a very loaded term. And apparently the news has also recently come out that acting on North Korea by the U.S. could include such options as putting American nuclear devices, so probably a missile, or I guess maybe you could say maybe like a bomber that would be based in South Korea that would carry a nuclear device, and also perhaps even a plot to kill Kim Jong-un, who is, of course, the current leader of North Korea. So these are pretty daring things to be saying. It's not as if these things could not have happened before. You know, perhaps if America and its allies had a chance to assassinate North Korea's leader, whoever it was at the time, not to say that they wouldn't have been interested in that. And of course, the U.S. has nukes in places all over the world, but to put them in some kind of form on the Korean Peninsula and then to openly kind of talk about murdering the leader of North Korea, these are interesting times.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because he somehow found a way to stay under the radar after all these years when America has obviously shifted their focus to other dictators that they'd like to remove from the top job. But for some reason, North Korea, they kind of don't touch. And and it's obviously a very long it's a long drawn out process. And the battle between North and South Korea it's been around for a very long time, Chance. But,
still technically at war. The thing that people always explain is that the war never ended, but it's kind of ended, but technically they never like got rid of the war. So it's still technically out there. Yeah.
There's just a lot of walking on eggshells.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You talk about how America, it's not as if we haven't deposed dictators and things like that. George Bush famously linked North Korea to this axis of evil. but I got to say, I do this from time to time, give credit where credit is due. I think with North Korea, the big difference is that they have nuclear capabilities. They're not amazing nuclear capabilities, but they test a nuke every once in a while. They've been testing missiles a lot in the last year, which, that's the concern, is that they put a nuclear device on top of a missile that could hit Japan or could hit, the western coast of the United States or something. So as opposed to, weapons of mass destruction that never really materialized in Iraq, or other places that America has gotten involved with, North Korea, once again, I guess give them a little bit of credit on this, they've kind of done their homework. If you have a nuclear device, it's very hard for America to really invest a lot of effort to get rid of the leader, because for obvious reasons, those are very, very destructive devices, So North Korea kind of, once again, people talk about crazy North Korea, but if you talk to any experts or if you talk to any scholars, they'll say that, North Korea does some very odd things from time to time, but there's a lot of thought process going on in North Korea, kind of like a bully who also has a long-term strategy.
And I guess you've got two men on either side that you wouldn't necessarily trust with, having that finger near that button, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what everyone says about Donald J. Trump.
Apples and oranges. Oranges and apples.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So a little bit more on just this general topic. So, of course, there's rising tensions between North and South Korea, the U.S., and then China, we just mentioned them, Donald Trump saying that maybe America would go it alone. But all of these topics were actually discussed by, once again, weird to say it, President Donald J. Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping at a meeting that was in Florida. I believe that was wrapped up last week. And then a third part of this, the U.S. Navy has deployed a strike group of ships, including an aircraft carrier that will is now currently heading to the Western Pacific, so basically to South Korea, to provide a presence near the Korean Peninsula. So I guess to kind of show there's some force behind perhaps the words that were exchanged in Florida between the leaders of the U.S. and President Xi Jinping. And then also, I just recently read that this week there's apparently another joint military exercise going on. These are held sort of like on like clockwork. You know, these are scheduled. North Korea always gets upset. Sometimes there's some action on North Korea's end around these times to show that they're upset that these joint military exercises are being held. So lots of stuff going on with this topic. Also, the Korea Times, which is a popular English newspaper in South Korea, I just saw they released, an op-ed, an opinion piece saying that the U.S. has to consult South Korea on any type of action that it would take, especially like some sort of preemptive strike against North Korea. So South Koreans, I think it's fair to say, some people in the know who are concerned about, you know, these higher level issues, not to say that, you know, everyday Koreans aren't concerned, but perhaps people who are dealing with these on a daily basis, they're kind of worried about Donald J. Trump and the United States doing something without consulting South Korea. This is a big topic and it's kind of flared up. But in all fairness to people who live in South Korea, a lot of times people don't pay attention to this because it's just like the sky is blue. North Korea is threatening some sort of nuclear holocaust. I mean, these are just the things you deal with on a very normal basis here.
And that's the thing. And I remember back to my first trip to Korea and I was saying to my Korean friends, oh, there's some volatile stuff going on at the moment. Doesn't it, you know, stress you?
And then they shout at you, the sky is blue, Janine. Sky is blue.
This is no different to what, you know, we're used to this. This is no different to what we've grown up with every day of our lives. But how do you distinguish when, you know, between the banter and, you know, the scary words, but then actually something that could quite be quite detrimental.
Yeah, and so like my girlfriend, I think I've mentioned, I've been dating a wonderful Korean woman who I love unconditionally.
Extra points.
The last couple of years, and in her generation, just a stereotype here, not obviously everybody, but I found, and this is kind of a thing that gets brought up in the ROK from time to time, is that these younger Koreans, my girlfriend and I are both around 30 years old. A lot of younger Koreans don't have positive views of North Korea, as opposed to their parents or their grandparents who have always, you know, if you will, been praying in some form or another for reunification. A lot of South Koreans either don't think about it or they're actively against it. They think about the price tag. They think about, in their, you know, viewpoint, and also my own as a Westerner, kind of how backwards North Korea is, if you will. And obviously, a lot of North Koreans live in fear, and it's, you know, anytime a government controls its people, you don't blame the people. But just for a lot of different reasons, and it's just been so long, it's been so many decades since they were not separated. A lot of younger Koreans, if you will, these are my words, but I'm trying to describe, this topic. They've kind of given up, or they're maybe not even so positive about reunification for one reason or another.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of very distinct key issues going on in this overall discussion that has to take place. So
not too hard to be let down by the system or the people running the place either, is it?
Yeah, and that's fair enough for South Korea as well. My girlfriend's generation, a lot of young people don't have very good views of the South Korean government. You know, Park Geun-hye recently impeached, so there's some clear reasons why they don't seem to have a lot of faith in either Korea at this point. But of course, South Korea being the good one out of the two.
What else is happening, Chance?
Yeah, just one more thing I want to mention. I had a nice interview. It wasn't like I got an exclusive or anything, because this man I'm about to introduce, he's been talking to a few Korean newspapers, and I believe he was even on KBS, which is a very popular broadcaster in South Korea. But long story short, a Colombian who's lived in Korea for 16 years, married to a Korean by the name of Leo Mendoza, I spoke to him for about 45 minutes on Korea FM. Within the last week or so, because he's been kind of thrust into the spotlight. He was shopping at a Costco, which is very popular with both foreigners and Koreans, wherever they are, because for obvious reasons, they have good prices, and also they have things that are sometimes hard to get when you're living abroad, and that's certainly the case in South Korea. But once again, long story short, he got into a physical altercation with an older Korean gentleman after the two parties were walking to their cars after shopping. And unfortunately, the Korean group, there was a family, and their child almost got hit by a car. Leo Mendoza and his Korean wife, they shouted right before it happened because they saw this child almost get hit by a car. Basically from that point, they also criticized the family for not knowing where the kid was, like kind of be like, hey, look at your kid. Like, what the hell's going on? And I say that because I want to show that the Korean man didn't just attack Leo out of the blue.
Yeah, sure.
And Leo Mendoza has been very upfront about this. He says that he and his wife, you know, criticized the family after alerting them to the fact. And if you believe Leo's story, basically prevented this child from being hit by a car. But then afterwards, the older Korean man, who is the grandfather of this child, apparently. And I believe there's CCTV footage to back this up, as well as photos and video that Leo's wife took, basically got confrontational, physically pushed Leo to the ground and held him on the ground. The police arrived. Leo and his wife wanted to press charges. Long story short, they got brought to the police station, and Leo then got arrested and fingerprinted because the older Korean man then changed his story during the questioning and said he was the victim of assault.
Right.
For anyone who's familiar with living in a foreign country as a Western expat, sometimes it's a very beneficial situation, let's be honest. And sometimes it's not so beneficial. This is something that comes up time and time again in South Korea, foreigners reporting crime, foreigners somehow being involved in a crime, even as a victim. And then sometimes the tables get turned on them and they think like, whoa, I'm being considered as some kind of criminal here. So basically what happened is Leo and this Korean man, they signed a document that said no one would be pressing charges. But Leo was very upset with the way he was treated by Busan police. He posted a public post on his private Facebook page. It went viral. I interviewed him for Korea FM. We had a 45-minute conversation, which you can find on KoreaFM.net. It's on our normal podcast. And he got interviewed by Korean television, but it's sort of a positive story. He was contacted within a day or two by basically the head of the Busan Police Department. He was invited to come down and meet other heads of the police infrastructure here. They took a nice photo together. And then Leo actually gave a talk to, I think, around 250 Korean police officers, talking about how to deal with people who are not Korean, how to avoid things that would be considered racist, the way you treat people, and multiculturalism, basically. And I believe Leo is going to continue to work with the police department to make sure that they have better training so they know how to respect the rights of foreigners when they report a crime. So this is a really interesting story because as a foreigner here, I've seen this type of thing. I hear these stories all the time of people being treated poorly by police in South Korea. But at the same time, it appears that Leo has made a difference by kind of raising a little bit of hell about how he was treated. It seems that there has been some positive change here. So this is kind of like a really nice story. It just kind of shows how, unfortunately, this is the way it is sometimes in South Korea. But it does show that when people put it upon themselves to let people know what happened and try to help other people so it won't happen to them in the future, you can make a difference.
Well, it sounds like a very positive thing's happened out of a bit of a sticky situation.
Exactly, yeah. And Leo's done a great job. There's the link in the podcast episode where I spoke to him about sometime within the last week. You can read all of his Facebook posts, and he even did a Reddit AMA. So you can go on to, I think it's r/Korea on Reddit, and you can read a lot of details. Leo's seems like a real stand-up guy in this situation. He didn't release any of the video that his wife took that would have shown the man kind of, you know, basically attacking him, because he was more upset with the way he was treated by the police rather than the actual incident where he was attacked, where he wanted to press charges, but basically he was kind of convinced not to because he himself did not want to face a charge.
And hopefully the parents of the child, you know, come around and in a couple of days they remember that they've got their son and they might just not have.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing is that the Korean man in this situation has not gone public at all. He's tried to stay. I think he probably, safe to say, is a little embarrassed by
Right.
all the public publicity that this story is getting. So Leo and the police are the only people talking about this, and I think that's fine because I think that's where the most positive work can be done.
Thanks for your time, Chance.
You bet, as always.
We're going to be having a break for Easter next week, so we'll be talking to you in 2 weeks.
Oh, happy Easter, everybody. I didn't even realize that was coming up.
It is this
I'll have
weekend.
To eat some eggs.
But until
Yeah.
then, we'll be looking out for your Korea news update that you've been doing every few days for Asian Pop Radio. So thank you. We appreciate it.
You bet. Yeah, check us out, KoreaFM.net, and of course, on the Asian Pop Radio podcast.